Now, don't stop it before we're done.
I'm laser focused right now.
I mean, it's the I why would you random click?
Boredom.
That's hard to argue with. Is that what you do when you're bored? Just I'm just gonna click around. Just yeah. click my mouse. Click 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 click.
Clickety click click. Here I go, clicking on things, not paying attention.
Hey, yes. Dad, I'm bored. Hey, want you go randomly click the mouse? Yeah.
It's pretty much what happened. Yeah.
Who wants to go throw rocks off the bridge? No, I'm going to randomly click the mouse. Yeah, this is riveting.
Hey, look at this button. Stop recording.
Hey,
I'm going to click on that.
ESPN, I got a new sport for you called random mouse clicking. Check it out.
Sorry. I'm sorry. It won't happen again, sir.
Hello and welcome to episode 283 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver.
British Columbia, Canada. Hey Adam, what's going on? Oh no.
Does that do it? Does that describe it?
Yeah,
hey, I got new glasses.
Ooh, like glasses?
Yeah, like prescription glasses.
You wear glasses?
Well, now I do.
Oh no.
I've had I've had a prescription for years. I just never wore them.
Mm-hmm.
And noticed definitely between the ages of 39 and 40, a pronounced difficulty reading fine print. So, always passing labels off and asking somebody nearby what it says.
Hey, is this poison?
Yeah. So how long do I cook this for? What does this say? And so now I just decided, okay, enough of this nonsense. Noticed it more and more when I was reading my kids' books. And as they get a little older, the print starts to get more...
reasonable.
It gets smaller. And yeah. Some of their books almost read like a little bit comic-ish where there's lots of bubbles and the print is really small.
Yeah.
And then I just said, okay, I quit. This is, you know, when they're young, like, you know, Sam's age, oh, the print is massive and there's like 8 words on a page.
Yeah, that's there's a reason for that. It's not for the kids. It's for the lazy authors.
Yeah. And so now definitely the print is half the size of normal print in a novel that an adult will read. And I give up. I just can't. I can't read it. So I mean, most of the time they're reading to me anyways, but they'll sort of say, oh, what's that word? And I can't see it. So, yeah, so that was kind of the tipping point for me. So went and got my eyes checked and got a new prescription. And so where I'm loving it is photo editing. I'm seeing details that I didn't know existed. So
we need a photo of you in the new glasses, man.
Oh gosh, it's gonna come. It's gorgeous.
You have no choice now but to broad light your face though. You can't short light that. That's gonna reflect.
Think of a cross between
Buddy Holly.
Well, I was going to say the pudgy ex Drew Carey.
I think we were all thinking that anyway.
Okay, you don't think Price is Right, Drew Carey.
Okay.
Does he still wear the glasses? I don't know. I don't watch Price is Right, but he's like super skinny now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, no, he's like a complete stick now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not that version of Drew Carey.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Christopher Reeve circa Superman 2.
So you have some black frames.
When he's Clark Kent, yeah.
So if you take a football in the face, your glasses are going to be okay.
Yeah. Oh, and I got titanium glasses because when they were saying, what do you want? I cared much less about style and much more about the fact that I wanted to be able to drive my car over them and still have them survive.
Yeah.
So I went with, give me the strongest pair on the planet, and then they showed me what they showed me. I said, perfect.
Can you play Peggy Sue?
Maybe.
All right. Well, we'll
I can
see
play it on the radio or something.
No, I mean, like, are they Buddy Holly-ish?
Yeah, I see. I'd say definitely more Drew Carey-ish.
Okay. I think
is that the same?
Yeah. I'm not that familiar with Drew Carey.
And I have a hard time visualizing a picture of Buddy Holly.
Wow, that stings.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he only invented rock and roll, but okay. Yeah. Sure, right. Fine. Good for you. Amazon. Did you buy your glasses on Amazon?
I did not.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry.
You're fired.
Yeah.
If you do buy glasses, buy them on Amazon.
Okay.
Click through our site. Help us out. It helps us out a great deal.
Okay.
There you go. So I guess the what's going on, we got that out of the way.
The glasses, yeah.
Yeah. I've been getting some nice feedback from some new listeners. We get new listeners every once in a while, or every often people hear about us and kind of go back and start binge listening.
Yeah.
And so every once in a while, we get some nice feedback from people who are like, hey, well, you know, like the show. You know, I'm glad I found it, and, you know, you're teaching me stuff. Are you going to fire Adam soon? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, not with the new glasses. I can't. He's already invested in titanium glasses.
Yeah, I got to pay these things off.
All of a sudden, Lex Luthor over here has got some titanium glasses.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's nice. Thank you very much for finding our show and for binge listening. That's got to be painful.
Most of the positive feedback really pertains to my side of the podcast.
Absolutely. I will not argue with that.
Yeah.
In front
pretty
of
sure.
you. In front
pretty,
of you.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you shoot anything? Blah, blah, blah. What else is going on? Loving the weather. Went to the pool a few times. Baseball road trip. Oh, yeah. This week's a baseball road trip. An overnighter. One game.
Sweet.
Yeah. One game Friday. Next game Saturday. Stay in a hotel. But the only thing, the only good thing about that for me, the only thing where I'm really excited is I'll by the time you've heard this, I'm back. But I probably had my own hotel room. And probably got to sleep late for the first time in 5 years.
Nice.
And by late, I mean 8:45.
Like sleep in.
Yeah. I don't think I can. Like that's the joke of it, is I know all the guys on the team, they will sleep in. The game two isn't until 2 p.m. the next day, which means be at the park around noon for batting practice and whatnot. So for them, like they'll sleep in until 11:57. I couldn't do that if my life depended on it.
Yeah, I can't either.
It's not going to, like, I could get up and then have a nap and get up at 11:57. That's what I could do.
Yeah.
But there's no way I'll be sleeping late. So I'm just going to go around and wake them all up.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Good for them. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Maybe shot some stuff at Whistler.
Yeah, we're recording a little out of order this week. I didn't get into my stuff last week because you filled it full of whatever you shot that was interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's go the other direction.
I shot at the pool.
Okay.
The outdoor pool is open again.
Creepy. Yeah, creepy.
It's but not creepy.
Okay.
All it's right. not creepy. I shaved the mustache off. Yeah. It can be creepy. It's funny.
Through the fence.
I was in an apartment building across the street, 600 mil lens. No, it was, I was there with my kids and it was like, you know, it was the first time we'd taken them this season, and, you know, it was decent weather, but I knew it wouldn't be crowded. Like, there'd be some people there, but it wouldn't be crowded. And so I brought the 40D with a 30 mil lens. Just because I knew I could run around with it. Not as easy this year. Last year was really easy to shoot, especially my son, because he was mobile. He was walking, but he wasn't quite the tornado that he has become a year later.
Okay.
The kid really is. We call him Hurricane Sam. Because when he blows through, wow, look out. Get your helmets on. He's here. And he loves the water. Just loves the water. Doesn't want to wear his water wings. He's only two, so he can't swim. Still doesn't want to wear them. Just likes going under.
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's going to be a problem.
Someone will pull him out.
Yeah, let's hope so. But he goes, he loves to jump and dive in, goes down the big slide by himself into the water and whatnot. But not as easy to get a lot of good shots, which I was kind of like, oh, no. Like, last year, it was really easy shooting fish in a barrel, but the fish got out of the barrel.
flopped around.
He flopped around a little bit, but then we went back yesterday, and it was a holiday yesterday, and so I thought, oh man, it is going to be elbow to elbow at the pool, Right. So I didn't bring my camera. I was like, you know what? Like, that's not creepy, but I just, yeah, there's no point. It's going to be so many people with hardly anybody, oddly. So okay. Yesterday would have been a good day to bring it, but I didn't.
Oh, missed opportunity.
And then the day before, so yesterday, went to the pool last week on, I forget what day it was, Sunday, Monday, something like that. And then a couple days ago, went to the zoo.
I remember the days.
Do you like the zoo? Yeah. Enough said.
When they were little, yeah. it was all sort of, you know, for the first time kind of thing, like the sort of, you know, amazement that they had seeing, you know, some of the animals up close. That was the part I liked. Like, from my own perspective, complete waste of time.
Yeah.
But then that wears off for them really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's no fun for anybody.
Hey, Daddy, what is that monkey throwing? hey, the tiger. That's my answer. Let's go see the tiger.
Well, I was going to say, never does it come up where my kids are like, can we go to the zoo this weekend, Daddy?
Right.
That just doesn't ever exist.
Right. One of the monkeys actually, you know, did that in his hand and then started to eat it right in front of the glass. So my daughter then turned and announced to the massive crowd of people, and she just told everybody who would listen exactly what he was doing. She was narrating the incident. And she, Daddy, he's eating his poo. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, I threw up my mouth a little bit. So there's that. No, but see, for me, I look at the animals. They don't look happy.
No.
They're not jovial. They're like, hey, surprise party again. Yeah, for me, you all showed up, all you idiots who just won't stop videotaping me with your iPhone. What are you going to do with that?
Right.
Where are you going to show that videotape that you took with your smartphone? I'm way across the moat over here. That's what the tiger said to the idiot standing in front of me.
Right.
I wanted to throw his, it wasn't even an iPhone, it was whatever else he had, the drone.
The Samsung.
Sure. Whatever it was. I was really a hair trigger away from just throwing it into the tiger's den. Tiger's cage. Tiger's area. Whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
Sure.
A murder
sure.
of tigers.
The lair. The tiger's lair.
Probably. Yeah, okay, that sounds awesome. I really wanted to throw it in there and just go, now what? Like, you're going to get some awesome video now of the tiger eating your phone. But what... What are you going to do? You don't have a zoom lens. I saw what he was videotaping.
Yeah.
Even if he had a long lens, what would he do with it?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, you ever seen a tiger? Yeah, I was at the zoo yesterday. Yeah, they caught a tiger and brought it to you to videotape. That's what they did. You've done nothing. Except for pay the 16 euros it was to get into the zoo. That's all you've done.
Yeah, this is a sore spot for you, I can tell.
Yeah.
Okay, just take a deep breath.
Already done.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did bring my camera. I brought the 5D Classic and the 50mm lens because I knew. Here's the thing about the zoo is no matter when you go, it's a zoo in there. Like, yes. Really. Like, with people. It is always jammed. And... Yeah, okay, I'm a little bit judgmental. I'm a lot judgmental. But it seems to me that the people who frequent the zoo seem to be the stupidest people of it. Like, what you doing? Why? And so they just get in the way and what, you know, whatnot. But so I want to take pictures of my kids at the zoo because, like you described, the fun part is your kids seeing the elephant. It's not the elephant, it's not the sad elephant with, you know, who's losing his hair and has shingles. That's not the good part. The good part is your son going, wow, Dad, an elephant. Can we get ice cream? That's the part. And you're like, ice cream? It's only $9 here? Are you sure? I'm going to tip you out. I'm make it an even 20, keep the change. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where we're at with the zoo. So I take my camera. I want to get pictures of my kids. Almost impossible to do. It's that crowded and people just aren't very accommodating.
Right.
Which I guess they also spent the 16 euros to get in and see the elephant. They don't have to get out of my way.
Agreed.
I'm okay with it, but I shot far fewer pictures in the 4.5 hours that we were there than I thought I would.
The end. You brought the 50 millimeter so that you at least in tight spaces could get something.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So did you get something? Something that did you get something to post?
There is evidence that we were at the zoo.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it did happen. So there you go. Photo challenge.
Okay.
Are we
this
done?
Is the part that I've been waiting for.
Candid. That speaks for itself. Don't right. pose it. Don't pose it.
Don't pose.
So, candid. Let's have a look at... let's do mine first. We did yours first last week. We'll do mine first. Okay. All right. Here's my kids. Candid. Blam. I'm going to go grab a coffee. You just talk about this.
So, this is the zoo.
Well, this is the train ride home from the zoo. But, yes, this is zoo day.
Okay. Because it looks like they're geared up for the zoo.
That is zoo gear. We got the hiking boots on. My daughter... shoes on my son. He's got his native frog shirt on.
Yeah, that's what you wear to the zoo.
Oh yeah. And the really subtle Olaf shirt my daughter's sporting.
Right. Yeah.
Really subtle.
What was your reasoning for black and white here?
Just liked it.
Okay.
Don't know. The colors weren't much of anything. Sitting here in the shade, like that's it's sort of a gray silver slat painted railing. That's some gray cement, the gray cinder blocks. It just this particular train station in Bad Cannstatt is the name of where the zoo is, where the Wilhelma is not particularly interesting. Which is weird because I like train stations a lot. Like they can be great. Like I know your in-laws. I've seen a few of their pictures from their trip to Moscow like 10 years ago or whenever they went, and they went to some awesome-looking train stations. Ask them about it sometime. Or actually, you know what? Don't bother. That's just going to lead you down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. No, I'm going to not ask.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep nodding and smiling. That's what you keep doing.
Yeah.
But this one is not particularly interesting. Not a lot of colors, and so I went with black and white.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why, or does your daughter walk around all day with her hat pulled down over her eyes?
Yeah, she thinks she's in Hollywood.
Okay. Because I would imagine that gets challenging as far as seeing.
Yeah, I don't actually, no, I don't think she actually does it all the time. For some reason, she just had it down. And because it was candid, I didn't want to step in and intervene and
right.
set this up. And so my son, however... He wears his hat like a champ. Like this is all him. I do not put his baseball hat on him. He handles that himself.
Wow.
Like I know it sounds awesome.
He can put a hat on?
Oh yeah. Sometimes backwards too, if he's catching.
Okay.
yeah, but no, but it's not so much that he can put
He's only two and he can put a hat on?
Yeah, you go ahead and phone Guinness because I'm too proud to do it. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying
on
is
on his head, though.
Yeah, no. Yeah, his head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. What it is it's the way I would have to shoot video, and I'm not going to. The way he puts it on always has it exactly perfect. Like that's
wow.
that's a perfect positioning of the hat.
Yeah.
My daughter not so perfect.
No.
Yeah.
Should take hat lessons from him.
I don't think she can afford it. I mean, look at the curve on that. Like, that's he's,
yeah,
he's not
that's
flat.
That's what I was
it.
Look. I was thinking. I was like, wow, that's a sweet curve. He curved it himself too, right?
I'm going to say yes, just for consistency in this story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but he's
all
very
right.
particular about exactly where his hat sits on his head, and that's exactly where it has to sit. So, I'm very I'm oddly proud of that, despite you mocking me. But
okay.
So here we are. Blam. That's candid.
Okay, it's candid. I. Good snapshot.
It's fine. It's a good snapshot.
Yeah.
It's not in my top 100.
No, probably not.
You know, I do like the fact that the one's looking one way, one's looking the other, like those two dogs in Goodfellas. Other than that, it's hard to get nice horizontal / vertical lines in this situation. You kind of sort of see things tipping all over here.
Yeah.
Which is it's just hard to do. Like you straighten
yeah,
out one
there's
thing.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, and I can't move back any further, or I'll get hit by a train. That's the thing. I'm at the edge of the tracks.
Yeah,
you know, and as it was, I'd already stepped over the white line, which was an egregious error, according to my daughter. She did not like that.
Yeah, they're gonna police you on that
one. Yeah, Not allowed. Not allowed to step over that. So, all right, let's have a look at your photo. Okay. Oh, I explained what this was. This is the zoo photo, so it was 5D Classic, 50 mil lens. Right. F2.8. I wanted to shoot an F2.8. That was my plan. All right. Now, here's your son at the Playland that we talked about last week.
We talked about last week because of our time-space continuum. Mm-hmm. Did two photo challenges together. So I'm not cheating. I didn't plug this in a week late. This is just how it worked. So there's my son on the swing. So I wanted to
be your daughter in behind.
It is. You know those. You know she's got always the pink pants or something like that that's bright colored. So yeah, that is my daughter. I wanted a photo where, you know, it was clear who this photo was. So I did crop a little bit just so that I kept other random children's faces out of the photo. But I like the effect. I like the effect of the legs hanging down and
sorry. I thought your son was Asian Zach Morris.
No, he is not. He is the forefront here. So I like this photo because I was standing way out of the way. The kids did not know where I was. They were completely unaware of the camera or the fact that I was taking photos. So this was true to the moment.
It's, you know, what's great about it is you have enough of, you're in tight enough that you know very clearly who this photo is, who the subject is. But you have enough included to know exactly where it is. You got empty swings, you got feet, it's great. Like that's fantastic. How did you get focus on this?
This was not a focus trap. This was kind of tracking with servo.
On the 5D Classic, no less.
A 5D Classic actually does a pretty darn good job of, like, if you have it on center point focus, it's still pretty darn accurate. So this was the 70-200 lens. I don't know. I'm going to say maybe f5.6, something like that.
Okay.
And then zoomed in, probably close to full 200 millimeters. And then, you know, after they go around a few times, you kind of get the timing of it, right? So I'm sort of watching him as he goes around. And then, boom, when he comes in, I'm just basically probably snapping two shots as he goes by and hoping that one of them's in focus. And, and I'd say probably the focus was about 8 out of 10. Like that was the ratio of in versus out of focus. I'd say 8 out of 10 in sharp focus with that technique. I could have probably focus trapped it, but at the same time, I had a very specific image in mind of where I wanted him to be. And so I just didn't know with so much movement and all the swings and different people, if I put it on all points and focused, you know, rather than center point, I didn't know who was going to be in focus. Like, cause there's so much movement, it was going to have its own idea of what they wanted in focus.
Yes.
So that's why I went with center point and the focus trap. I didn't know if my timing would be good enough with the depth of field that I was using to actually time it so that he was actually what was in focus.
Right.
So I thought that this was the best gamble was he's going to go around 20 times. I was going to get him, you know, two or three times anyways.
Mm-hmm. Looks good. So, no, that's a great, you know, great example of a candid photo. And, you know, and not easy to do. Like this is a lot of different moving parts in order to get this exposure, color balance, all that. Like color balance you can fix later, we know, but getting the exposure just right with the shutter speed, you know, balance. Like, hey, what do you shoot this at? Like, what ISO do you shoot this at? I'm going to go ahead and say I would have put this at 320.
Yeah, I don't remember with exactly what the day. I'm going to say it was probably higher than that.
It was because, 400. I'm looking at your exit photo now. It's 400. So close enough.
Yeah. I was going to say probably I would have even thought maybe it possibly was even a little bit higher only because thinking that I needed the shutter speed. What would it, now that you're looking at the data, what was the shutter speed?
1/2000th.
Yeah. So that was the key to me is I was basically tinkering with it to find a fast enough shutter speed because this thing's moving pretty quick and I was worried about any motion blur. I didn't want the motion blur.
Yeah. No, that's why in this situation, generally when you're outside, even when it's cloudy like this, your instinct is to go with an ISO 100 because you want like, you know, the best quality image. And for a lot of stuff of, you know, your kid eating too much cotton candy and then throwing up, you know, 1/80th of a second, 1/200th of a second is going to be good enough. Right. And so ISO 100 is great. But in this situation, when I know there's stuff going on, I toggle between ISO 320 and 640. Those, like, no, 400 and 800 are fine. There's no special reason I do it aside from the fact that that's just what I do and those numbers make sense to me and I can quickly get to the f-stop/ shutter speed quickly because that's where I'm comfortable, but that's what I toggle between, knowing full well that at ISO 320, I'm going to get the shutter speed I need. A little more clouds come in, it gets a little bit darker, I can go to 640 really quickly.
Gotcha.
That's where I go with this. And so, yeah, like I said, a lot of moving parts, not an easy photo to take, so success.
And the wooden roller coaster, Playland has one of these old wooden roller coasters, and first year, Jack went on the wooden roller coaster, so that was awesome.
That was his college fund gone?
Yeah.
Is it included in the all-day pass?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so during the P&E, it's not.
Oh, really?
I don't think it is. Or maybe it's not. Maybe if you want to go I think it's like around $13 if you just want to ride the roller coaster once.
I don't think that exists anymore.
Okay, so you tell me I'm on a date.
You're at a date. I think it's now, there is no way you can just go. You had to go on into Playland or onto the P&A, you have to pay the day pass. So there's no separating anything out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so if you get a day pass at Playland for a kid, I want to say it's like $30 or something, then all the rides that are there are all included. So, but we just did the wooden roller coaster once because the line started to get a bit bigger. It was completely dead everything else other than the wooden roller coaster. But we did it. The Jack just wanted to be able to say he did it. Him and his friend both did it.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah held strong and said she was not going to go. So she basically did every other ride but the wooden roller coaster.
Really?
Yeah, she held strong. I thought peer pressure would get to her because her friend went with Lisa, but Sarah was like, "Nope, not doing it." In her head, she's like, "I don't like roller coasters," even though she's never been on one. So,
right.
But she's very headstrong and stubborn, and so she is not budging no matter what.
Well, good for her in some respect.
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm okay with the fact that that is probably going to be good in high school.
Let's hope
she doesn't want to do something not doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I feel the same way. I'm probably going to instill that in my daughter as well.
Yeah. Whereas Jack told me a week ago, they have like one of these things on their playground, like they call it the tall tower. Uh-huh. Like there's a big fireman's pole. It's probably about 12 feet off. He said that him and his buddy jumped off the top of the high tower to the bottom of the playground. Oh. And I said, "Oh, that doesn't seem safe." And I said, "Was that your idea?" "Nope." And he said, "Well, two of my other friends did it, so I thought I'd try it." Like, and I'm like, "Oh, that's great."
So he would literally jump off a bridge.
Yeah, I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. So, wow. Yeah, we're gonna have to talk him down.
Well, enjoy that.
Yeah.
See, on a plus side, my son will be the one talking him into doing it.
Yeah. Hey, look. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Woohoo! Yeah. Good times. Okay, candid photos. That leads us into this topic this week. We did an interview with Amber Hughes, who's been on the show before. This is back-to-back guests. Last week, Dawn. This week, Amber.
Wow.
Now I did say that we were going to we're going to expand our wings and we're going to get a bunch of new guests and then back to back we have existing guests. But I recorded Amber a long time ago because when you're hearing this, it's going to be sometime in June.
Yeah.
Which means she is off the radar. She is busy. She is knee deep in the hoopla in terms of weddings.
Right.
So there's no way she's going to have time. I recorded a couple episodes, a couple interviews with her early in the year before it got crazy to you so we could use during wedding season. Now, this isn't about weddings. But here's the thing, and I'm sure this is the same with you. People love my family photos.
Yes.
Just in like strangers, if I post one on Facebook every now and then, once or twice a month at this point. But in general, people are very excited that they like to see my family photos, and they're also excited when they come over as a family to our house. When my camera comes out, they like, okay, we're in for a couple of good photos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and people kind of always remark like, "Hey, yeah, we would like you to have you come out and shoot some family photos of us because we like your family photos."
Right,
and I explain, I can't really replicate that. It's not really possible. Like I can come out for a few hours and you might get one, but the reason that my family photos are what they are is because I know my way around a camera and I'm always here.
And the photos that I take that you like are candid photos in that I do not set anything up. My kids happen to, yeah, sure, I'll take all their, you know, I'll take Sam's toys and put them, all of his cars and put them in some nice light, and hopefully he plays there. But generally, I don't set anything up. It's just, it happens when it happens, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Right.
But because I'm always there, I'm going to get something eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I tell people. Like, really, I can't come and shoot these kind of photos of your family unless you hire me to come out for like a half a day and just hang with you. And so in my head, I thought this would be a great, great business model if you can package this together. Just so you could sell these candid sessions to people. Because as it is, generally you tell people, all right, yeah, we'll go to the playground at Terra Nova. We'll be there an hour and a half. I'll shoot a bunch of pictures of you guys, you know, leaning on that fence, and that's what you get.
Right.
But you don't spend, you know, half a day with them shooting their regular life. Like, you don't have them eating breakfast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So I invented this. I invented candid sessions, much like I invented the Brennizer method after it was already invented.
Okay.
Turns out this is already a thing, and Amber's been doing this. Like, she's been doing this for a little while and doing these candid sessions. So I said, hey, let's find out about that. So if you don't know who Amber is, if you haven't been listening to our show, she's a fantastic wedding/portrait/candid photographer. You can check her out at amberhughes.ca. We'll put a link on our site. I urge you to check her out. Check out her site, but also go look at her blog. She posts a lot of photos that she takes of weddings and different things, and they are fantastic. So I definitely do yourself a favor and peruse her websites. Without further ado, here is Amber Hughes.
You want an intro this time?
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm not going to. I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
It's Amber. That'd be great to have someone walking around in life every time you enter a room.
I would love to have actually like a theme song that I just had playing when I walked places.
I would use the theme to Full House. That's what I would have. Kind of a ripoff, but people know it.
There might be copyright problems.
In life? I don't know. That'd be a new area.
I don't know. You'll have to look into that.
Yeah. I just think you want something that people know. So you don't want to have to invent your own. How are you, Amber?
I'm great. I'm fantastic.
Wonderful. Now we're talking to Amber. We're talking to Amber early in the year because later in the year, you just drop off the grid.
Yeah, I'll basically be a hermit who has not seen the sun in weeks.
Well, hopefully, I mean, that's the worst. That's the worst when you do see like the bright, bright sun. It's, you know, hey, wedding's at noon.
Yeah. Oh God.
And we're outside.
Actually, I have a wedding. I'm photographing. It's my usual second shooter. She's getting married this year, and I know she's getting married outside. I sort of started broaching the subject of, and she was like, "Oh no, don't worry. Ceremony's in the evening." Blah blah blah. I'm like, "I just love you.
Yeah,
I love that you're a photographer and you already thought about that."
It's all 11 to 1, yeah, right in the afternoon.
Always.
Yeah, that's always going to happen.
And I always, ahead of time, we'll do their engagement session and I'll book it at a time that's good light and I'll talk to them about good light and blah, blah, blah. And then they always seem to forget all about that. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I understand. That's pretty much, well, everyone looks at my photos. Everybody looks at like just my regular family photos.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do say so myself, they're very good. I'm, you know, a decent photographer, and they say, "Well, I want those. Mm-hmm. I want you to come. Not even show me. Come and take pictures of my family. We'll be at the park at noon."
Yeah, no.
I say, "Well, no, I didn't. I don't take pictures at noon of my family."
Yeah, that's just not how it works.
Yeah, and if I do,
that's not how any of this works.
They don't make the cut. So with that, I've heard you told me that you started doing documentary sessions.
Yes.
This, I think, is a fantastic idea. I'm going to go ahead and say it was yours.
It is not, but okay. But thank you.
Probably that Brennizer guy again, right?
No, actually, I can't remember who it was I first saw do it, but it's been kind of gaining traction in the last few years.
Well, it's something I did invent, again, well, after somebody else had. That's kind of my move, to do it after it's out there. But I thought the exact same thing when people say, hey, you know, I want pictures of my family like this. You know, how can you book an hour? And I said, well, you can't come to my house and get this.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I would have to come out and follow you around for a day or half a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing.
Exactly. It's just a more natural way of capturing who you are and how it feels to be together rather than here we are smiling.
So how does one, just to backtrack before we get into that, how does one replicate candid documentary photos?
Well, I would say you can't. Do you mean how do they set it up? Or
that was a trick question. You can't.
You can't, because that's just not. Be candid. Oh, what am I doing with my hands? Like that doesn't work.
No.
No. You literally need to go and just immerse yourself in a day or several hours with a group of people or a family, to really have them relax enough to be candid and just be ready.
And I don't know where to start. Like, how do you market this? Where do you do strangers just invite you to participate in their life?
Well, my first couple sessions, I really wanted to get some material that I could put on my blog so I could show what a documentary session was. Mm-hmm. So the first couple sessions I did for just friends, and I just said, you know what? No pressure. I'm just going to come over. We're going to spend, you know, however many hours, whatever. And I'm going to take photos of your family. You guys just hang out. We can do whatever you guys normally do on a Tuesday or what have you. And I get there early in the morning and I just literally hang out. My camera is there and I just take photos. And I think it's really important. Sorry, this is kind of not part of this question, but I think it's really important to arrive and not have your camera out yet and say hi to the kids and let yourself have a few minutes to just sort of be someone who's new to the scene before you bring out your camera and start photographing. Mm-hmm. So I find that helps the children a lot with the idea. Kids get really weirded out by, okay, we're taking photos now. It's a very intense thing. So if I'm this new fun person who's coming over to play with them and then, oh, I'm taking photos, it's a different thing.
Is it always with children involved?
Well, you can have it without children for sure. Right now I'm just doing documentary family. I haven't had anyone ask me to do a documentary portrait session, like a couple session yet, but I think that would be amazing. To answer your question, what happened is I did a few sessions for friends. It was actually a couple of photographers, so they did a documentary session for me. I did for them. So that way we both benefit. And then I had some stuff to put on my blog and to market and show. I do this thing called documentary sessions, and then I actually started getting some inquiries for them after that because people will be interested in what you show them. So if you want to do something, you need to be able to show that you can do it.
Right. Wait, okay, when you had your picture taken, like you had your friend follow you around for a day, half day?
Yeah, it was about a half day.
Okay. How aware were you? Because you're on the inside, so you, I mean, it's hard to fool you, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I am definitely aware that she's there the whole time. But for me, I really tried to focus on Evan, you know, what we are doing, that sort of thing, just really try to make myself ignore that she's there.
Mm-hmm.
And just be natural. And I think too, when you have a small child, they're asking you things, they're needing your attention. So it's easy to focus on them.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to, cause they're talking in their high pitched voice. Might miss something and just let yourself be there with them and just, you know, let down your guard. It's not something we do a lot. And it's something that I think is a good thing to do. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. By all means.
Well, what I was going to say, I think it's really, it's a good thing to do a documentary session rather than a camera where we're getting our portraits taken kind of session. Simply because we're losing our candid moments being in life. Like it used to be that your dad or whoever would have, you know, a 35mm SLR and he'd just take random photos, but the cameras back then were usually a fairly good quality and it was at least on film. So it kind of like a nice look to it, but now everybody's snapshots are on iPhones and let's be honest, they're not, aside from like a handful, they're pretty crappy.
They're terrible.
They're pretty crappy and they're grainy and it's just blah. And nobody's really bothering to even frame anything proper. Like it's, we're kind of just documenting our lives in a really haphazard way these days, and it's not the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we're losing those photos where it's like, it's Christmas and like, I'm giving my mom a hug because I'm so excited, and all those sorts of things. Like those moments where you get that real connection between people, you really see not just we're looking nice for the camera, but like who you were together and how it felt to be together and how much you love each other and the connection between you. We're losing those moments. We're not having them documented the same way anymore. Mm-hmm. And I feel like having a documentary session is exactly the right thing to do, because you get to have those moments captured forever in a really beautiful way.
So, and aside from like looking good, like framing wise and composition and this and that, you're saying that it's the emotions behind them.
Absolutely.
And being able to recognize when that is happening or going to happen. I mean, that is an amazing skill to have.
Oh yeah. And it's definitely something you need to hone. It's not easy. But you sort of, it's like a muscle almost. You kind of develop it over time to the point that it's just, you just have it. It's there. You just know what's going to happen. But that's just through observation, learning human nature, being able to read a scene, and getting yourself into the right moment and the right spot for something to happen.
So typically for someone who isn't a photographer and they're having one of these sessions done, how long does it take for you to disappear?
I don't think I ever fully disappear, honestly. I mean, I think that I'm just kind of a satellite around what they're doing. And I do, like, the kids will come up to me and like talk to me about stuff. And like, I think if I'm there about half an hour in, I feel like I'm just part of the background, but I'm definitely a component of the day too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's about a half an hour for everybody to warm up, I think. And then the kids are less kind of weirded out by me, because sure. It is this huge black camera, right? Like you can't get around that. So I think that that's about when they kind of let down their guard and realize I'm going to be there for a while. So, and also too, like small children, trying to make them sit still and look at the camera and smile, it's like so against their natural nature. Like that is not what little kids are about. They're about running around and being noisy and laughing and doing silly things and fun. Mm-hmm. You know, their movement and fun, that's what small children are. And I think that if you let them just be themselves and capture that, you're not only capturing who they actually were at that time, but you're also allowing them to just be comfortable with the whole situation.
Right. Now, I mean, the alternative is you could go and learn how to take all these pictures yourself.
Yes, absolutely. But then you wouldn't be in the photos.
You're not going to be in the photos. That's right. That's definitely part of it. It's kind of funny that, you know, if your dad is the one taking the photos, then he is present. He's always present behind the camera. You don't see him, yeah. But you know he's there, and he becomes this character, like film, like in picture wise, becomes a character of unto himself. But it's not part of it, and definitely something that. You know, I take most of the pictures, and so I have to make a conscious effort to be in them.
Absolutely.
Which then kills the whole documentary feel of it.
Well, so that's why I've had people do sessions with me. I'm actually planning to do another one soon. Is because I'm always documenting my son and my family, and I'm almost never in the photos. Mm-hmm. Except for usually crappy iPhone photos.
Right.
No offense to my family, but that's usually how it is, because nobody knows how to use my camera, and I'm not going to set up a camera and take photos. It's against my nature. So I actually hire other people to do my family's photos, and I think that's really important. I think it's so important to have yourself documented, not just for now, but for later.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things. I'm going through photos now trying to basically corral my collection of photos, just my family photos, like personal and going back. And I look at pictures that were from 5 or 6 years ago and think, I don't think I ever liked that photo, but I love it now.
Yeah.
Like there's some that do age like a fine wine, some vinegar, but that happens.
But you know, like, and then there's some that you loved before, and then as years go on, you love it so much more. It becomes that much more precious. I was thinking about it the other day, and honestly, I think my most treasured possessions at the moment are photos of me and Evan when he was just born. and how tiny he was, and just being able to look at that, and how I didn't really know what it was going to be like to be a mom yet, and all that, all the feelings that that makes me feel when I look at that. And I don't know what I'd do if I lost those photos. It can be something that you're like, oh yeah, I'll get around to it later. But you really, you got to just do it, you know, right now, and just have this moment documented, because it will be in the past before you know it.
Yeah, for sure. So where do you typically like direct people to go? If you say, hey, if it's up to you, if you get to pick, where would you say, hey, let's go hang out here?
Well, you know, honestly, I like to go wherever people like to hang out with their kids. So one session I did recently, they started the whole day off at their house. This was actually a session to document the fact that they were leaving this house too, because this was where they had bought just after they had gotten married. This is where they got pregnant. This is where they brought up their first daughter. She was about two at the time, and she was actually pregnant with her second, and they were moving. I think it was like a week later, they were moving to a new home in a new neighborhood. And so this neighborhood was very much, you know, the cornerstone of their early marriage. They're, you know, becoming a parents for the first time. So it meant a lot to them. Mm-hmm. And so what they wanted documented was not just them as a family, but they wanted documented that it was in their home, and it was still partly set up. Like the living room was set up, but you could see like there's boxes around and stuff, 'cause they were moving. Mm-hmm. So they kind of wanted that part of it documented. And then they also wanted to have their favorite places to go in the neighborhood documented. So they have a coffee shop down the street that they always go down to, and she gets a cookie, and you know, it's like, it seems mundane, but it was really, really special, because those were their special places. So we went there, and we went to a local park that they always went to with their little girl. We walked down the street, looked in, you know, windows that they like to look at of different shops. You know, it seems very basic, but mm-hmm. it means the world to them.
Well, having lived in Vancouver and then moved, you know, to Europe, I can respect that. There are things that, like, and some places are gone now. I go back mm-hmm. to Vancouver and I think, oh man, even though I never really didn't matter, it wasn't like my favorite store in the world, but I passed by that every day.
Yeah.
You know, and there was that sort of footprint of my life there that, yeah, I think, why? I should have documented that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't take that advice and do it now like I should. I should, you know, be documenting these things, you know, the ever-changing landscape that I'm in now. But it is a really, really important thing to have, like, especially in certain key moments of your life.
Absolutely.
Now, for us, how long would you say a typical session would last, or what do you recommend? How long should it last?
Well, I would say either a half day or a full day. I mean, that depends to, you know, how much staying power your little one has. I find with really small children, sometimes less is better. I would say 4 hours minimum. But it really depends on when they get fed up with the whole scenario. Mm-hmm. Some kids are totally fine. Some kids will let you know they are done with this. They do not want you there. Maybe it's nap time. Who knows? I haven't had anyone want me for the full day yet. What I would probably do is just take a break when they're napping, or document you guys what you do when they're napping. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems, again, it's the boring run-of-the-mill everyday stuff, it seems, but as time passes, that stuff changes, and then seeing who you were then and what you were doing is actually kind of magical. So yeah, I would say, like, to really get a documentary session, you probably want at least 4 hours.
It would feel to me that looking at the photos that I really like of my kids, these offbeat moments, I would say my instinct would be start just before breakfast and go for 4 hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because breakfast is that time that you don't photograph on your own, typically. But
yeah,
there's so much that goes on there that's kind of fun, and the beginning of the new day and all this that stuff that's going to happen, that I actually make an effort to photograph my kids at breakfast every now and then, and I'm glad that I do. So that would be my recommendation.
Well, and so for my session with Evan, we stayed in, and I wanted to make muffins that morning, so we made muffins. It was just, you know, it's actually pretty special. There's photos where he's like feeding me a muffin afterwards. That he just did that on his own. And actually, at the same time, we were just starting potty training. So there's some pretty funny photos of me rushing to the washroom with mm-hmm. stuff. And that, you know, it seems, again, like super mundane. But I look at those photos now and I'm like, man, that seems like a whole other lifetime. And just, you know, our struggles with it. And it's special to have those photos now.
Interesting. So so you have someone come for a half day or a whole day, and the payoff might not be for 5 years.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, and you shouldn't be afraid of it being just your regular chaotic life, because that's ultimately what it is that we're capturing and what will actually be special to you when you get the photos back. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, just let yourself be documented and let down the wall and just let it happen.
That's, yeah, I would highly recommend that myself, or spend 8 years learning to take great photos.
Yes.
If you don't want to do it and you're in the Vancouver area or want to fly Amber out, where do people find out more about this?
Well, you can go to my website. That's amberhughes.ca. Drop me a line or have a look at my blog at my family sessions. You'll find out more info there. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm at, hold on one sec. I always forget the actual. It's facebook.com/AmberHughesPhotography.
Okay, I recommend you check it out. Warning, this is for real. If you do check it out, you're going to want to hire her. So that's on you now.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Once again, Amber, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure.
And we're back. Candid session.
Yay!
Can you imagine yourself doing a candid session, Adam?
Yes.
Okay, good. Everybody phone Adam.
Yeah.
In the Vancouver area.
I didn't listen to your interview.
Uh-huh.
Big surprise. What did she say she charges for one of these? Did you ask?
I didn't ask.
Okay.
Unless I did, because now I forget. Because it was a while ago.
Okay.
This was
all
back
right.
In
so
February, man.
So maybe she gave a price point for this.
No, she didn't. Or maybe she didn't. I didn't ask. This is the kind of thing that like the you're hitting on a very, very important part of this is it seems to me that it would be price prohibitive. Like mm-hmm. I would come up with, for me, it would be like an hourly rate. Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, for me, I could imagine doing this in half day increments, and you're looking at probably around $600 to $700.
Yeah, sounds like a lot.
That's what I would anticipate.
Yeah, and I imagine her price is probably higher than that.
Could be.
I mean, I don't know, but yeah. I mean, I would just think in Vancouver, because you're also factoring probably a German price, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and yeah. I would think that, again, based on the Vancouver going rate, I would think it's probably a little bit higher than that. She's working mostly in Vancouver. I'm going to mm-hmm. say probably closer to $8,000 or $1,000
for a half day.
A half day of her time to go do this.
It could be. Now, it's one of those things that it's money well spent.
Yes.
I mean, your
yes.
other options are you can go ahead and buy yourself an expensive camera, or not. You know what? Check that. You can buy yourself a half decent camera, a decent lens, and get out there and learn how to do this. It's going to take you a couple of years to get good. Look at Adam, who takes very good photos. This wasn't episode 3. You weren't off, you know, snapping great photos.
True.
It took a long time to get to where you are. So if your kids, if you want photos of your kids now. You're not going to go and learn all you need to know and be that good from scratch in a weekend seminar, workshop. So it's right. money well spent. That's what I would say. And yeah. the rest of it, yeah.
No, I'm just thinking for people out there, for photographers out there like myself who are at that level and think that, okay, well, this is certainly something that they could do mm-hmm. for other people, just kind of having an idea of, okay, well, yeah, where is the price point for this to do something like this. So
well, that price
yeah,
point
I know, it's,
might
it,
fall.
It's yeah, and it's going to be different for people at Amber's level. Certainly, can also charge a premium. So I'm going to guess the vast majority of our listeners are not at that level.
I'm going to go ahead and assume. Yeah,
I'm going to say that's probably a safe assumption.
But what does that look like? You're right. I mean, like, what would you do for, like, if someone said to you, "Hey, I want you to come out all day Saturday." You come out at 8 a.m.
I go on hours. I mean, the way I look at anything photography wise is how much of my time am I occupying? That's really all it is to me. It's it's time, because especially if it's on a weekend, because I work during the week. So if it's on a weekend, then it's time that I would be spending with my own family. So now it becomes, it's really just about work and time that I'm now doing something else. So I have to account for my time more than anything else. So yeah, I would just basically factor in it, like you say, by time, and I'd probably go at something about $150 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So however many hours times that rate, and then that's about where I would land.
And the issue becomes, like, if you want to deliver a good product, you kind of have to, like, you really have to budget 4 hours.
Yeah.
Or I come for, you know, I come during magic hour, you know, every night this week.
Right.
And that's not $150 an hour. That's not going to work. Like, this has to be more than that, because...
Yeah,
because
of all that extra time going to and from and whatnot. Yeah.
You know, and that's generally, like, that's how you go ahead and get it. So if you are out there and you're thinking about, you know, maybe you're getting close to being good enough to do this, don't hire anybody. Learn to do it yourself by listening to our shows.
Yeah.
But if you're not there yet, seize the moment. Find somebody who's doing this and doing it well. I think it is worth the money. Now, that being said, since we recorded the episode, about a month later, I actually did my first one of these shoots.
Okay.
And so it really was. We got a lot of good images, you know.
And so how many hours did you go for?
It was a little shorter because I already knew the people.
Okay.
And so this was a 2-hour session. But it was punctuated by the fact that these people, I told them, I would like to shoot your family at this hour of the day. And they said, "You got it. Look, we'll be there then." And I said, "Noon on the equator."
And okay, so you got them to the location, and then you just sort of said, "Carry on, do what you would do." Like,
yes,
went
to a location that they knew that they have been to before. It wasn't a playground, but they do go to this field and like go hiking and those sorts of things. And said, "I'm like, all right, great. I'm not here. Don't worry about me. Just go ahead and you know, be your..." I mean, obviously with the parents especially, it's going to be a, you know, a modified version of that, and with the kids too, on a slightly smaller level. Like, just the sheer fact that I'm there does sort of change the dynamic.
Yeah,
which I'm guessing Amber and I just talked about. But you know, you do the best you can. I mean, the very fact that Daddy brings a camera out does change the dynamic. My kids are aware of that happening. So in that respect, that does happen. I can't always get 100%. When I get candid shots, I'm not always 100% invisible. It's just in that in-between moment, maybe when they're not paying attention.
Right.
So that's it. So thank you, Amber. Check her out at amberhughes.ca. Photo challenge for next week.
Whistler.
I was going to say... But yeah, you went ahead and went shorter. No, black and white with the polarizer.
At Whistler.
Well, let's not make it too specific, because I'm not going to be in Whistler.
Okay.
But take a black and white photo using the polarizer.
Okay, I guess I'm taking the polarizer.
Or just do it at home. That's up to you. That's really on you, isn't it?
All right.
Yeah. Websites. Adam, where can people find all your black and white polarizer shots? And your Canon session.
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Do they have to type it in that slow?
Yeah. Yeah, it helps.
Otherwise, you won't get there, man.
Yeah, okay.
Check my stuff out at alnatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links, the photos, and everything else that we just talked about. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.